the Lord is, let's go back and take a look, starting in, working at Deuteronomy. I want to look at some things in Deuteronomy and some things in Judges and, if you're going to take that, if you're going to take that, you have to take, you can't go out that door. Thank you. Let's look at Deuteronomy about chapter 30. And, I want to, as we look at Deuteronomy, we look at Judges, and look at all of them. And Sunday we were talking about being in the, about them coming out of Egypt, and we looked at all the different things that represented Christ directly. Mm-hmm. We talked about Moses and his life, and how, and each time that we look at something, or regardless of what it is, it represents Christ. It is always a savior.
Yes.
Everything that in the Old Testament that God gave them, that brought them out and kept them, represented his son Jesus, who would come and who would save them. This is the thing that everybody has to have, that you have to understand about God. God is a savior.
Yes, he is.
He is, as Abraham wrote, Abraham said when he provided him a suitable, a substitute for Isaac, his son, he said that he's a provider.
Yes.
Everybody wants God to be a provider.
Neither. Yes.
Not everybody wants him to be a savior.
Savior, yes.
You want him to give, but you don't necessarily want to belong to him. There's a difference. It's a way about us in the earth. And when we're in the earth, when we're in the world system, when we're in the earth system, it's understandable because you want someone to work with you and do things for you in the earth, but you don't want to give yourself completely open to them. You know why? Because people on the earth are human.
Yes.
You don't even trust them so much. I mean, you know, I don't mind, you know, when I sign something, I want to know what I'm signing. I don't want to sign a blood oath, you know, and sign away my life into bondage or into slavery. Right, yes. But I don't mind giving myself to God.
God, amen.
So what's the difference? Because God has never asked us to be in bondage or in slavery. Matter of fact, Romans lets us know very quickly that when we come to God, we have not received a spirit of bondage. Unfortunately, for a lot of people, when you don't understand God, and not to understand God means you don't really understand love.
Right, yes.
You only understand love to the extent that you love.
Yes.
To the extent that you love. And then everyone else, you expect, you know, you judge them by the way that you love and the things that you have out of it. So you don't go any further than that. But God is different. He is something that we have, that we are not now and will not be until we are changed from mortal into immortal. God is pure.
Yes.
And God is completely perfect. We are not.
Yes.
On our best day, it becomes something that we get from God and get from the Holy Spirit. And no matter how much you know about God, unless you have his spirit, you are not in God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so when the devil comes to attack, the first that he may, it doesn't matter how the devil attacks you, especially a saved person. If you don't have the spirit of God, then the devil's not worried about it.
Right. Yes.
He comes then to prevent you from ever having God's spirit.
Right. Yes.
But if you're ever saved and have the spirit of God, then the devil comes and his intent is to dislodge, cause you to not leave the spirit, cause the spirit to leave you.
You, yes.
About what you do. So then when we were looking at being in God and the point that the devil always makes is he attacks us in ways that causes us to no longer be spiritually involved in God. And it lets us know, too, in Romans, when it says this, we have received, he has given us, spread the love abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. So when we don't have the Holy Ghost, we don't have the concept of what it's like to have the love of God. And then we resort back to where we are, where everybody wants something from you.
Yes.
If I ask you to become in partnership with me, then you want to know, what am I bringing to the table and what's good for you? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, God doesn't mind, because he doesn't mind telling you what he brings to the table. He brings everlasting life. And he says to you, can you beat that? And he tells you, when he comes, he says, what am I bringing to the table? I'm bringing you heaven instead of hell.
Amen.
Can you beat that?
No.
So then, and he says to you, and I'm bringing you a love that you've never had before.
Yes,
one that you don't have to ever worry about leaving you. You will leave God. Yes. Or you will be such that you can no longer have a relationship with God. But you're the relationship breaker.
Yes.
Not God.
Yes.
It's always you who break the covenant. God will keep his covenant. Let's look in Genesis. Moses in Deuteronomy. Mm-hmm. Moses in Deuteronomy in his one day sermon. Give me a time out for a moment. What did you give him?
I didn't give him anything.
Oh, well, let me give him something.
I was trying to find the cough drops. I don't know what I did.
That's what I gave him, the cough of the halls.
They don't work for everybody. They don't work for me. In fact, they make me cough more.
Here, take that.
It sounds disruptive. Moses, in Deuteronomy, the last chapter, Moses is preparing to leave Israel because Moses is going to die.
Yes.
And Moses is 120 years old. And in all this time, he has explained to them in so many places. And when you read Deuteronomy, he tells them all of God's promises that were good for them and good for us. Now, we want the promises of God, but we don't want the relationship with God.
Right.
Why would anybody not want a relationship with God? Because you think you're fine the way that you are. And you don't want to go through the changes. So Moses says to them in the days that he's leaving, and about Deuteronomy, let's look at the last couple of chapters. In Deuteronomy 31, and Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said to me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. There's a time when the Lord says, you have done as much as you need to do in God. There is a point, and it's got all the warm in here too all of a sudden. There is a point where, did you turn the air off? There's a point where you get to, when every one of us is going to get to where God is going to say, you're not going to be here tomorrow.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And you've gone as far as you can go, and that's inescapable.
Yes.
You want to have the sort of life that when God says this to you, you say, all right, Lord.
Mm, yeah.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be afraid. No one, you know, if right now you're sitting here and you're afraid that if you should die tonight, you don't know what happened to you, you have a problem.
Problem, yeah. Yes.
You should have the comfort of, I don't really want to die tonight, but if I do,
I'm all right. Yes.
And not, you know, and it's not, a, not so, so when God's, when God is talking to Moses, and he tells Moses this, and the Lord thy God will go before, and he says, and I can no more go on out. Also the Lord has said to me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. This is what Moses is telling the people. In verse 6, he tells them to be strong and of good courage. Fear not, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that goeth with thee. He shall not fail thee nor forsake thee. In other words, God is not going to let you down. God has kept you all this time. God saw you through every difficult time you've had, and by now you need to learn to depend on God. Now here comes the here's the problem. As we're reading Old Testament and we're looking at Moses in Deuteronomy, which is his last day, and Moses is going to die, he gives them a long discourse. I want you to look at chapter number 32 and verse number 48. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, get thee up into this mountain, Abram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, which is over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel for possession, and die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered up to thy people as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and be gathered unto his people, because ye transgressed against me amongst the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah, Kadesh, in the wilderness Zin, because you sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither into the land which I gave to the children of Israel. So God says to Moses at this particular time, he says, all right, it is time, you're done at this point. And you're not going to be the one to lead them into Canaan.
Yeah.
You know, after 40 years of putting up with these people.
Yeah, I know. Thank you, Lord.
And then you're not going to be the one to lead them into the land of Canaan.
Yeah.
But I know how God, you know, God is always right. Moses doesn't have a problem with it. Moses is 120. Joshua's 80. And Israel is not, and Israel's going to really cut up when they go across Jordan. You think they've messed up so far.
Yeah, they do.
When they go across Jordan, they're going to really cut up. Now, I want you to look in Judges, turn to Judges. So God says in Joshua, he tells him in Joshua, for all of you that are Bible scholars, I want you to go back and read. He tells all Israel, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Someone got up and preached one time and said, I don't think Moses died. I think God took him to heaven like Enoch. And I said to myself, I wish you hadn't said that, because you're in a very high position. But I happen to know my Bible says God, Moses is dead.
Yeah.
And God buried him. So, you know, you listen, you don't ever want to not be true in the word of God.
Right.
Because if you consider yourself a prophet, you only have to be wrong one time, and you're a false prophet. So
yes.
I'll leave that where that is for right now. I want to look in Joshua, and I was looking at it earlier.
Judges.
Looking in Judges. Judges chapter 2. And the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land I swear unto your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Is that what Moses told them?
Yes.
So God is going to keep his covenant with you. God has never changed his mind, and God has never broken a covenant at any time. He keeps his word. Ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? In other words, he said, I told you that when you came into this land, and when you read them, of every one of them, God told them when they came in, they said, when you come in here, you need to drive all these people out and not try and get along with them, because it won't work.
Yes.
They're contrary to you. Now, I don't want us to stay with the literal sense of him driving the people out, because let's look at it in the spiritual. When you come to God, there, whatever it is that you leave because it's ungodly, you can never have that.
No.
You can't compromise so that I'm going to have that and I'm going to have God at the same time.
No.
One of the other has to win.
Yes.
One of the other has to win. You can't have both. And when you look down to about verse 11, I'll read 3. Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare unto you. He says, God told Israel, he says, now you're grown up and you need to make a choice. No one's going to choose this for you. And, you know, as long as you're going to be in this, and we want to look at this as from the point of view of not just people. I don't want anybody to get this point of I'm talking about stay away from this person, that person. I'm not there.
Yeah.
I'm talking about making a choice for God, and I'm talking about what Isaiah says, between the things that are holy and unholy and sanctifying God. Mm-hmm. And it's not just people. That's why I don't want anybody to get the thing. He said, don't be around these people. I'm not saying that.
Right.
I'm not even there.
Yeah.
Although there are probably some people that when you get saved, you don't really have to worry about leaving them alone. They will
leave you alone.
Unless you have something in common.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And whatever you have in common can't be something that is not accepted by God.
Yes.
Otherwise, you become a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Romans says that too. Well, Corinthians says that too. I listened to Elder Lucky one time. She was teaching me about where it says he that is joined to a harlot has become the same. Mm-hmm. And she was explaining the word harlot doesn't just mean, as we said, a prostitute. Harlot means an unruly or a barbaric person.
Yes.
Or a thing. And then when you become a part of that, you become the same thing yourself. So Israel, when they come out, despite Moses' blessings of they'll have houses full of goods because God's going to bless you. No one will bless you like God.
No.
You're never going to find anybody bless you like God.
No.
Say, well, what is the greatest thing God gives me? Well, the greatest thing God gives me is eternal life. The next greatest thing God gives me is peace.
Peace, yes.
It is the knowing that everything's going to always be all right.
Yes.
And I'll throw this in. And when the devil comes, what he challenges is your peace.
Yes.
However he comes, he always disturbs and breaks the peace.
Yes.
And one way you know when the devil's attacking you is you lose your, for whatever's happening, it costs you, might not cost you money, might not cost you your life, might not cost you anything, but it will cost you for the period of time that he's disturbing you, your peace.
Peace, yes.
And therein you will know, well, somewhere along in this is the adversary, because he's always a disturber of the peace. He disrupts. And you know, so he says, and so Joshua, he says in Judges, it says, he tells them, he says, you're going to, when you go into this land, when the Lord saves you, I don't know of anyone, I know I'm not one of them. When the Lord saved me, I wish that he had erased me like erasing a board.
Yes.
I wish that he would have erased my mind like you erase a board. Erase my affections for all the things that I love that keep me from loving God. Erase my desires from all the desires that I have on God. Remember, I'm born in sin.
Yes.
And when you're born in sin, you're like a magnet to things that are right.
Right.
You know, you're so attracted to them because you have a natural affinity or a natural drawing towards the things that are not of God because you're born in sin.
Yes.
And you're shaped by the world, and not just shaped by when it says shaped by iniquity or evil things. It's not just a matter of I'm shaping because my dad drank, so I drank. My mama smoked, so I smoked. My mama did this, and then my aunt did this, and I did. It's not just that. You're shaping by the world, period.
Period, yes.
Well, you are.
Yes, you are.
You're taught in an education system that you absolutely must have because you must learn to read and write. You must learn how to count. You can't make it in the world if you don't.
Yes.
And in the process of doing this, you're also taught to have success.
Yes.
But your leaning and guiding towards success is always in a fashion that the world approves of.
Yes.
And you pick up on their mores and the things that they say or whatever. So you're shaped by this and the challenges of it. One of the things that we find out in the world that we're shaped by is competition.
Yes.
We're always pushed to be number one.
Yes.
Be number one. Mm-hmm. Be number one. I've seen people bring that into the house of God.
Yeah.
You're never going to be as deep in God as me. Why not? Does God not have enough room for all of us to be deep?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're never going to be as strong in the Lord as I am. Why not?
Why not?
You should want me to be, don't you get it?
Yeah.
The stronger I am in God, especially if you're my pastor, the stronger I am in God, the less problem I am to you.
Right.
You ought to want me to be as strong in God as I can be. That's one last question we got to watch. It's like having several kids and some of them start to become mature. The ones that start becoming more responsible, it's less of a headache for you.
Yes.
But we carry all that into everything we do. We have more world in us. And sometimes we want to make it just be this, you know, the obvious sin parts of the world, the murders, the axe murders, the, you know, drunkenness or whatever it is, the drugs or whatever we want to be. But we have a lot of the world in us.
Oh, yes.
That's why we have such a hard time being in God. We always have this problem. So we always have this preference. So when we're looking at in Judges and looking at how they were, what we're looking at is not so much just the fact of them being attracted by other gods and other people. We're looking at how they prioritized and what their preferences were. And they were at a point where in Judges, when you look at Israel, Israel's at a point where, my God, they've been in the wilderness for 40 years and they're moving on. They have seen God move every day. They went out and ate manna every day. They saw a blessing from God every day. They saw a pillar cloud by fire and a pillar cloud by day. I mean, a pillar cloud by day and fire by night every day for 40 years in the wilderness. They have seen God move time and time again. By the time they get to Judges, it isn't just what they saw in the 40 years. They've seen the walls of Jericho fall. Yeah. They saw the sun stand still at Ai.
Yeah.
They've had some miracles.
Yeah, showed enough miracles, right? Bonafide.
And then we say, well, if I'd seen all those miracles, I'd be saved too. You've seen enough miracles to be saved.
Yes.
Yeah, you have.
Yes.
God has made his love towards us very obvious by now.
Yes.
So obvious that in order to not love God is a choice that you must make on your own. To not be in God is a choice you must make. But I will say this. But at least be honest enough. When you choose and don't choose God, be honest enough to say to yourself, this is what I love more than God.
Yes.
That's what you have to say.
Yeah. Yes.
This is what I would rather have than God.
God. Yes.
So he says in this, and the people served in verse number
seven.
The Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he had did in Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And then it goes on and says they buried him. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And so also, all the generations that were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, not yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And when it says that they knew not the Lord, it isn't because they had never heard of God. It meant that they never established a relationship with God.
Yes.
It isn't that they had not ever heard of God, or God went out of existence and so they didn't know about God or whatever. The generation that came after them, after all those had died that had seen all the miracles in the wilderness, for the most part, there's always someone who knows God because the word was carried on. But for the most part, they decided they didn't want to know God in that way. Yeah. They didn't have that relationship with God. Yeah. They would rather have it with Balaam. Yeah. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, the gods of the people that were around them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. Now, I want you to look at part of the reason why they did that. And I guess it's in... So I was reading it a few minutes ago. I was about to see it again. They simply would not. Oh, here it is. It's further back in verse 1. Chapter 1 in Judges. In 21. And God told them to drive everybody out. In 21. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inherited Jerusalem.
Inherited
Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem until this day. And then if you go on down further on, verse 29, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell in Gezer among them. 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalal, but the Canaanites dwell among them and became tributaries. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants. And it goes on. God told them, you really got to get these people out of here or they're going to influence you.
Yes.
He's not telling me that I have to drive anybody out. He's telling me that I have to drive out the love of the world.
Yes.
He isn't saying, you got to run these people out of town. He's not saying that. He's saying to me, this is what they had to do in those days because they were under the law and Christ had not come. And these days, he's not telling me I have to drive anybody out. I'm not telling you know. And sometimes you know when you preach like this, people say, "I got to get rid of. I got to stop sin. I got to do." I'm not saying any of that. I'm not even in a physical in your physical realm. I'm talking about what you drive out of your mind.
Out of your mind, yes.
I'm talking about what you get out of your affections.
Yes.
Because if one person dies and your affections haven't changed, you just find another person who fits the same affections.
Yes.
It's the same thing that Jesus was saying to the rich young ruler when he was telling him, go sell all that you have. Well, you know, on the face of it, you tell some rich person the only way you can be saved is get rid of all your money. How does that sound? How does that sound?
I ain't going to do that. No.
And if you walk away just saying, oh, well, you know, you come telling me the only way I can be in God's house is to be poor. No. He didn't tell everybody that. He said to this man, because this man was earnest, he said, what must I do? You know, to have eternal life. And Jesus looked at him, and he could look at him and say to him, you know what's going to overthrow you, brother? Your money is.
Yes.
Well, this is just for him. And the point that Jesus is making to him is there's something in your life, whether it's money, whether it's land, whether it's people, there is something in your life that you will choose over God.
Yeah.
That you would rather have than have God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is saying, if you want to be sure that you're going to have everlasting life, I'm not saying you have to be broke, but you're going to have to change your mind about where your priorities about where money stands. Because surely, since the devil is trying to overtake you, and the devil is real, he's not imaginary, goes to and fro throughout the earth, if you don't believe the devil is real, come to God and start really serving God, and you'll find out that the person you thought was your friend is not your friend. And I'm not talking about people again. I'm talking about the devil.
Right.
And that's why people say, well, you know, seemed like before I got saved, my life was all right. Well, you know, you have a faulty memory, because when you weren't saved, your life wasn't all right. It's just that now that you're in God, you see how messed up it was.
Yes.
And now that you're in God, you see how evil the devil is.
Yes.
As long as he had you, it was not a problem. So when it comes down to when we look at Israel and Israel coming out, so Joshua, you know, even in Joshua's last statement, his last scripture of the day, Joshua tells them just before he dies, he tells them, in Joshua 24 and 14. See, it's always a choice in God. And I understand how when some people can preach, everybody can feel like he's just talking about us and he's trying to drive my life. Leave far, far from it. God directs my life. I'm just trying to get everybody to the person who directs life. I can't send anybody to hell, nor heaven for that matter. And that's not something I can do. Whether I like them or don't like them, how I feel about them, whatever, that comes from God. It's God you must choose.
Yes.
And it's God, you know, it's the love of God that you must come to know. And if you sit on the outside forever saying, oh, I know God's love. No, you don't know God's love until you have God's spirit. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Until you have His spirit,
yes.
You know about His love, but you do not know His love.
Yes.
It's like all of us, you know, everybody in here is old enough to know what a love relationship is, whether you have one or not. You have your mindset of what a love relationship is. You know about love. If I ask you, what does the word love mean? You would say, well, that's the affection or desires one draws close to another and how they feel about them. You just go on and all these kind of things. And you know what it is. And then I could ask you, and do you have it?
Yeah.
And for what and for whom? And then you're going to tell me about that. And I could say, well, what will stop your love? And you would say, well, if they did such and such, I'd stop loving them.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have not known the love of God.
Yes.
And then you, when it comes down to it, because until the Holy Ghost comes, the Spirit has a hard enough time getting people in whom He dwells to come to the point where they understand the love of God. We have people in whom the Holy Ghost dwells who have no patience.
Mm-hmm.
And God's love is very patient. We have people who love God that the Holy Ghost hasn't been able to convince yet to be kind, or to be tenderhearted, or to be any of those things. They misrepresent God, but He does dwell in them, and He's working a change in them. But you must have the Holy. But even still, You must have the Holy Spirit or you don't have the love of God at all.
Oh, yes.
Well, I know God loves me because I'm living. And if that's the case, then you know, if that's the extent of God's love, then every person that's in prison that you wish would die and do everything else, they have the same love of God that you have.
Yes.
Because they're breathing.
Yes.
Joshua 24:14. Now, therefore, and this is before Joshua dies, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Joshua 24:14. And again, you know, we know this very well in the New Testament because we're primarily a New Testament church, but I think we need to spend some time in the Old Testament because so we know that this is, when Christ comes to fulfill the law, and Christ certifies everything of the prophets, and he brings to truth all that the prophets and all in the Old Testament brought. He did not come to bring a new gospel.
Mm-mm.
It is the same. So then in the Old Testament, he also says to him, he says, serve him in sincerity and in truth. In other words, you can't lie to God.
Yes.
You can lie to everybody else, but you can't lie to God. God always knows what's true and what's not. You can't fool God. You can't bamboozle him. You can't hoodwink him. You can't dare God. I've tried, and you know, I've thought about it. You can't give God the pitiful act and make God move.
Yeah.
Oh, well, God, I guess I'm just somebody you don't care for. Don't you think I've tried that? God, you know, I've done the best I can do. I guess you just love everybody more than me. And God just sits there and says, pitiful, pitiful. It's like, if anything, it's like he just ignores you and says, you know, now when you're ready to act your age, you know, come and talk to me, which means pray.
Pray, yes.
And we'll have a conversation about what you're going through.
Yes.
But as far as you trying to do this, as my mom would say, you know, this poor mouth thing of, you know, the whole world's against me and I'm the only person. And God, you know, you let me go through and all this and everything else. And God, this sister, and says, you know, whenever you're ready to humble yourself and pray and seek my face, let me know. Then I'll work things out. In the interim, it's just you having this little pity party or whatever you're having all by yourself. And I've only seen it a few thousand billion times.
Yeah.
You know, and it didn't work on all of them.
Yes.
Because it's so easy whenever you really want me to work things out, then come seriously and we'll see what, you know, and I'll show you what I can do.
Yeah.
And Joshua says, fear the Lord, or in other words, respect God. 14.
Yes.
Respect him for who he is.
Yes.
He that cometh to God must first know that he is God.
Yes.
And
yes.
that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
Stop playing a game with God. You know, and be honest with God.
Yes.
Serve him in sincerity and in truth. T-R-U-T-H. When you are wrong, you're W-R-O-N-G. And if anybody knows that, I've lived longer than anybody in here, so I probably, except maybe able to read. But even still, I've probably been wrong more times than anybody in here. And I don't mind, and I have no problem saying that. I don't have a problem saying I'm wrong when I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I do not. And you say, well, why not? Because God has brought me to
that point.
Because I know, and when you get to the point where you are able to see that you're wrong, it's like David wrote.
Yes.
I don't know where it is. And Chandra, never mind. That's okay. We won't look it up tonight. We're looking at it another time. But David wrote in one place. It's in a psalm. It says, search me and know my way. Try me and know my thoughts. And if you find in me an evil way, lead me in the way everlasting. And you should want God to show you when you're not right. Your eternal life depends on it.
That's right.
There doesn't need to be a grand scheme of things in God because being in God is so easy.
It is, yes.
It's so simple. And so Joshua says in this, he says, serve him in sincerity and truth and put away the gods of your fathers. Your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve ye the Lord. Stop having all these beliefs and thoughts and ways and means and things that are not God.
Yes.
You know, come to it. That ain't God.
Yes.
I like it, but it ain't God.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I'd like to do, but that ain't God. That's not the Lord. at some point in time, you have to grow up to the point where you say to yourself, I can't go to heaven like that.
Yes.
You know, I feel the way I do, but and that's when you ask God, that's when you really start to ask God, Lord, you need to change me.
Yeah.
Because I am not right.
Yes.
There's something wrong about me, and I want eternal life, and I need you to come in and make a difference, because I'm not going to make it like I'm going. And he said, put away the gods of your father's son on the other side of the flood and into Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. In other words, they had been, you know, by the time Joshua says this, Joshua's 110. Now somebody tell me, if Joshua took over for Moses when he was 80, how many years has Joshua served them since they came into the Jordan?
30 years.
And if you add this to the 40 years that they were in the wilderness, it has been 70 years since they've come out.
Yeah.
In 40 years, most of them who are under the age of 20 have died off.
Yeah.
And you have a whole new bunch of people now who are in their 70s at the youngest. And most of the people, and he says everybody who saw the floods and all those people are gone.
Yeah.
And yet somehow they were able to pass on from one to another the religion for the gods in Egypt.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what they
You can just keep passing sin on and passing sin on and passing sin on. Passing sin on. Just keep on passing on. You know, you just determined you're just going to keep sin going. And Joshua says about this time, when he looks at them, he says to them, And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, how does it seem evil to you to serve the Lord? Let me tell you.
Please.
It's when you start saying God is unfair.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why. I guess it's, you know, I don't want God nothing because the way my life going, God ain't taking care of me. I ain't gonna go to God. That's the dumbest thing you could ever say.
That's right.
Especially when you're miserable and God has the answer.
Yes.
And people say silly stuff like that. Well, God ain't blessed me with such and such. I figure we even. How are you ever gonna be evil with God?
God, no, because He's God.
And Joshua says, if you've gotten a mind now, where you feel like it's not good to serve God. He says to them, got 8 minutes. He says to them, choose you this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whom the land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua says to them the same thing that Isaiah says. That's my last scripture for tonight. The same thing Isaiah says when he says, come now, let us reason together. Joshua says, you choose. God is not going to do it for you. You can play a game with God until you take your last breath. You choose who you're going to serve. You make up your mind. And people say, well, don't you know, no pastor, no bishop, no anything can choose God for you?
No.
No.
Don't you know that no one, once you pass the age of whatever, 12, 13, 14 or whatever, people can bring you to church all they want. They can't choose God for you.
No. Yes.
And the devil is such a liar, you know, and he's so busy trying to make people not be in God. He loves to accuse preachers of trying to make people serve God. And some preachers do try to make people serve God. I've already, the Holy Ghost has already made reveal that to me. Can't make people serve God. Matter of fact, as a pastor, it's the other way around. If you have the mindset that you can be so zealous about people serving God, people will be the very thing the devil will use to discourage you and frustrate you. Every time you look up, the people will do this, or the people won't come, or the people won't that, or they won't do any of these things. Until you come to it, and I have come to it very recently, it's God you're coming to, and if you decide not to come, that's on you.
Yes. That's right.
The only thing I have the responsibility for doing is trying to preach the word to the best I can, and desiring, I will always desire everybody to come and be saved. But beyond that,
yes,
it is on you.
That's right.
And so Joshua says to them, after all these years, he says, You decide
yes.
who you're going to serve and what you're going to do. He said, I already made my mind.
Yes.
He said, in my house, we're going to always serve the Lord. In other words, he said, the house I have, as long as I have it, it's going to be in God. And that makes the point that, you know, when, you know, I guess for Joshua's children, like Job's children, Job was loving God. His children were not. Job prayed for him, but he couldn't make them godly.
Right.
He sanctified them and lifted them up for God every day.
Yeah.
And yet, Eli's sons, hey, Eli was a prophet, was a judge. His sons, Samuel's son. And so it goes on and it says, not just talking about our children, because we can name just as many whose children were godly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Obviously, Jacob had some godly sons because the lineage went all the way through to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph surely was in God.
Mm-hmm.
Make no mistake about it.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at the Old Testament scriptures, which we need to do, and we see how Jesus is preaching and how he's teaching, you can see in Israel that even during that time, just like now, people were making choices and choosing whether or not they'd be in God or not, even though they saw miracles. And for us, we say to ourselves, we say to God all the time, Lord, if you just do such and such, I'll serve you. You have to grow to a point where you're going to serve God whether you see your miracle or not.
Yes.
Just being in God is a miracle.
Yes.
Everybody standing. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. Praise his holy name. God is a good God.
Yes, he is.
Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy.
Yes.
Father, we thank you. It's good to see Edward tonight. I thank you, Lord. Bless him tonight. Praise your name, Lord, and touch him. All those, Lord, who are on Zoom. Courtney's with us tonight, the Elsies. Lord, bless every one of them, oh Lord. Sister Nancy. Keep them in Jesus' name. Elsie Angela, Lord, bless her, Lord. Her aunt passed, and keep in Jesus' name. And Lord, bless all those in promise. Bless Michelle tonight, oh Lord. I'm glad she's here for Bible study. Bless Minister Smith tonight. Praise God for her. We just thank you for all the people of God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, just bless every one of them. Lord, where they need healing, heal them.
Yes.
Touch Elder Smith tonight and her body, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, touch her afresh and move in Jesus' name. Lord, you know we have these old bodies. Father, you know our conditions. You know our frame, David wrote. And Lord, I pray, Lord, you touch and make a hole in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless Timaeus tonight and all those who have allergies this time of year. Lord, just move because we need you to move. We need you to make a way.
Lord,
among all things, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would be in us a well of living water springing up to everlasting life. Lord, come in, oh God. Lord, we want your spirit to come in and lead us and guide us. And Lord, we pray tonight, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us and encamp your angels all around us. And we pray by the power of God tonight, Lord, that you would loose us from anything that is of the devil.
Yes.
And say to the Lord, we rebuke you in every place you should show up and however you should show up among the people of God. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, you keep every one of us. And Lord, evermore, Lord, give us of your living water, Lord. Evermore, give us of the bread of life. Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, keep our hearts and minds in the love of God. And we'll glorify your name. Give you all the honor. We'll give you all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. You give him a hand. You can be seated very quickly. We will be back Friday night. Edward, it is good to see you. Praise God for you. We'll be back Friday night for...